we're planning once more another voyage of adventure. This time, Africa. From Antwerp, Belgium to Paris, through France and Spain to the Straits of Gibraltar, and then down across the vast continent of Africa to the Indian Ocean. We had received the necessary permits from the British, French and Belgian governments. We were awaiting in Antwerp the arrival of our trucks by freighter from New York. For 18 months, these trucks were to be our living quarters. Loaded with supplies, they weighed 6 tons apiece. A few hours later, we had the honor of being received in the Royal Palace in Brussels by the King and Queen of Belgium. King Leopold, himself a keen photographer, minutely inspected our trucks and especially our photographic equipment. Queen Astrid talked graciously to Mrs. Dennis. Little we knew that barely a few weeks later, we were to hear in the center of Africa the tragic news of Queen Astrid's death. The hour of our official departure had come. The last interviews were given, the last photographs taken, and we were on our way. The Place de la Concorde in Paris, gray on this February morning, bitterly cold on the windswept mountains of Spain, and now the famous rock of Gibraltar faced us across the bay. We were on the docks of Algeciras, and again our truck short crossing of the straits, which would take us to Spanish Morocco. A week after leaving Brussels, we were on African soil. Ceuta, where we land, has modern docks and a modern ramp to lead into the ancient city. But soon we strike inland and enter another world. We are approaching the sacred city of Moulay Idriss. It is the time of the Grand Moussem, a famous yearly Mohammedan festival. The wealthy Arabs have come on magnificent Arabian horses. Pilgrims flock into the city in thousands, and already the fantasias have begun. See them go. The finest horses and the finest horsemen in the world. Within the city, the crowd overflows everywhere. The rooftops are crowded. Thousands pour through the narrow archways into the marketplace. It is with difficulty that we make our way through the crowd and that Roy Phelps takes his pictures. Entertainers have come to the city from all over Morocco. The solemn fire dancers who hold burning coals in their hands and produce lighted torches from their flowing sleeves. The fire eaters who breathe in flames and smoke and assure the credulous pilgrims that fire is their only diet. And see this fellow. He's only breaking bottles. But wait, he does not break them as you and I. This is a bed he's making. He's very tired and wants to take a beauty rest nap. And see this one. He's not tired, but hungry. No fire for him. Nothing will satisfy him but well-blended broken bottle. What an idea for a breakfast food. And here is a snake charmer, as daring as those of India. This is the African black cobra, as vicious and as deadly as the Indian cobra. Drums and flute provide the hypnotic music. And now we are approaching the long forbidden city of Fez. Every day is market day at the gates of the city, and for centuries these walls have witnessed the age-old bargaining of the East. Today is the sheep market, and hundreds of sheep tied in neat bundles neck to neck patiently await their fate. Buying and selling is thirsty work, but there comes the ever-present water carrier, and there the ever-present beggar. Through the ancient gates we enter into the city. After 30 years of French occupation, Old Fez has not changed much, and it has not lost its medieval aspect and traditions. Its guilds of artisans still do their painstaking work by hand in small and dimly lighted workshops. This is a copper worker's shop, one of many hundreds. In every one is a crude lathe turned without electric power, and artists, who have a deep pride in their craft, patiently fashion objects of beauty. The medieval tradition of the apprenticeship still survives. It takes many years to graduate from the spinning wheel to the big looms on which the famed intricate Moroccan rugs and blankets are woven. In a tailor's shop, the tailor sits cross-legged. This complicated braiding is necessary to the making of the Arab burnous. And these children will spend their whole youth in learning its hundreds of possible patterns. See the potter at work. Out of this shapeless lump of clay, his hands can produce any graceful shape. They need far more skill than those of his apprentice, who has only learned to decorate his master's work. Someday, no doubt, the narrow streets will make way for wide arteries with clanging streetcars and motor buses. Power lines will run everywhere. The children will be taken out of the dark little workshops and sent to school. But much of the charm of Fez will be gone as well as its squalor. They will remain only its gorgeous mosaic gates and its lovely minarets to bear witness to its colorful and fascinating past. A formidable barrier of mountains separates the fertile plains of Morocco from the barren wastes of the Sahara Desert. Here, in Africa, are huge cedars and pines, and often heavy snow. We had left Europe in winter and had had bitterly cold nights in the mountains of Spain. We were back again in snow and ice, and in our first camp in the Atlas, the water in our radiators froze, and we had to chip ice off the windshields. Africa is a country of contrasts. Look at this hooded figure, passing in a setting so unfamiliar. Look at the telephone lines, for we are still on a thoroughly modern road. The military road across the Atlas Mountains, superbly engineered and built by the French Foreign Legion for the opening up of France's huge African empire. Away once more, we are now swiftly going down the southern side of the mountain range. We learn to appreciate good hydraulic brakes on roads like these. In less than 4 hours, we will pass from a temperature well below freezing to the almost intolerable heat of the desert. At 6 in the morning, we were struggling in snow and ice. At 11, we are in the Ziz Valley, and the temperature has reached 110. We are carrying over 800 gallons of gasoline in our tanks, filled to capacity, and even in tins on the roof of the trucks. A brilliantly green carpet of date palms is laid in the bottom of the valley, and towards this cool and lovely garden, the road gradually takes us down a series of rocky and barren escarpments. The mountain streams have made the Ziz Valley one of the most fertile in the world, and it is dotted with picturesque villages. The rivers on the southern side of the Atlas Mountains never reach the ocean. They lose themselves and disappear in the Sahara Desert. We cross them on the Foreign Legion's bridges, with an inch to spare on either side, and we enter the Sahara. Reject from your mind all you ever heard about the Sahara being just one huge ocean of sand. There is in the Sahara every kind of barren and forbidding landscape. Huge rocky cliffs, mountain ranges, tumbled masses of rock. In the deepest valleys along its northern as well as its southern edge lie the oases. Graceful palms, the vivid green of which contrasts almost violently with the orange red of the sand dunes and the deep blue of the sky. For several hundreds of miles before we enter the absolutely barren desert, they will dot our course, and rough tracks hard on tires but easy enough going for our powerful dodgers connect them with civilization. The oasis villages still cling to the sides of the mountains. In the coolness of the morning, there is busy activity on the roof. Even the goats live on the roof. There is the mosque. The muezzin appears, summoning the faithful to prayer. The sun soon beats down unmercifully on the narrow streets, but there is cool shade along the mud walls and in the dark and crooked passages. there's little hard work to do, at least for the men. The men don't even walk when they can help it. But there is one work which the women do, and which goes on all day long. The whole life of the oasis depends on the water of its wells. There are lovely biblical scenes at the wells of the women filling and loading their water jars. Every drop of the precious water must be carried up the steep stairways to the village. Midday hour, the camels chew. Watch this far one bring up its cud. There, and now watch the near one. Up. Desert food is pretty tough and takes a lot of thoughtful chewing.